Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, November 17th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the United States is expected to welcome the next tidal wave of refugees from Syria as Barack Obama promises to increase the number of Syrian migrants to a staggering 100,000 per year. Meanwhile, a close-the-borders movement is sweeping the nation as tremendous backlash grows against Obama's migrant resettlement plan. So far, 21 U.S. states have announced that they will flat-out refuse to accept the refugees.
As governor of the state of Texas, I will not roll the dice and take the risk on allowing a few refugees in. To expose Texans to that danger.
All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm racist for criticizing the religion of Islam, but they've got segregation in these Muslim no-go ghettos.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, after the Paris attacks, the debate has quickly shifted from what are we going to do about ISIS to how many refugees can we bring in, regardless of the fact that jihadists might be embedding themselves within those refugees. Now, the number 10,000 refugees a year is being thrown around, even though the president has already publicly declared that the number of refugees from Syria and elsewhere will be increased to 100,000 per year by 2017. Now, this was something that he tweeted out in September. Obviously, it's an absolutely massive number, and it is inevitable that some jihadists will slip through this vetting process. Now, you would think that what happened in France would actually cause the president to question this move and, you know, perhaps maybe reassess this strategy. But instead, they're actually doubling down on it. At the G20 summit, Obama lectured his fellow world leaders on the need to take in more Syrian refugees. Now, of course, he would have us believe that all of these refugees are highly vetted, that there is little danger of any terrorists being imported into this country as refugees. But Representative Peter King says that is 1,000% not true. He says he's very concerned about this because we cannot vet the refugees from Syria.
Yeah, I'm extremely concerned because what the president is telling us is not true. We cannot vet the refugees from Syria. There are no databases to work against. There are no government records. And when I talk to people involved in the vetting, they have no confidence at all in the people that are being allowed in. There's no way, you know, when people talk about thorough vetting, there is no vetting as a practical matter.
Now, King went on to say that the difference between taking in refugees from a place like Bosnia versus Syria is the fact that when you're accepting refugees from Syria, you're dealing with an organization that is directly involved with terrorist activity. He also went on to explain that there is absolutely no database to vet whether or not what these refugees are saying is true. They could tell you their name is John Jones and you just have to take them on their word. And he also pointed out that even women have joined ISIS. And now we do know that ISIS has the capacity and the will to hide terrorists among the refugees that are fleeing the Middle East and flooding Europe. Now, joining me in studio is David Knight. Now, David, obviously, in response to Obama's migrant resettlement plan, there's been a lot of uproar and a massive closed borders movement is taking place all across the country. People have been flooding the phone lines there in Washington, D.C. They've also been flooding social media, telling people to, call their congressional representatives, stop this resettlement of Middle Eastern migrants. And it must be working because now we have 21 U.S. states announcing that they're refusing to accept Syrian refugees, one of which, of course, now includes Louisiana, which we just learned last week. They had just begun accepting Syrian refugees. And then guess what? One of them went missing, and the missing refugee turned up out of state. And the charity organization that was, helping these refugees resettle them, they said, well, it's not our job to keep track of them. And the governor, the federal agents there, they didn't even learn about this missing refugee from the Obama administration. They learned about it through the media. And so, of course, in response, Governor Bobby Jindal issued an executive order preventing resettlement of Syrian refugees in the state of Louisiana. So, you know, it doesn't matter if these states say we're not going to accept them. They can, once they're inside the United States, they can easily move about.
True. But we need to look at the most effective way to shut this thing down. And I think it's very important that as this began yesterday, went very rapidly from 6 to 21. Now it's over 25 states. Two of the states that were added yesterday evening, Leanne, were Massachusetts and Maine. This isn't something that's just Democrats. And this is a massive pushback. It is a legal way to do this. There's been some pushback from some of the media saying they don't have the legal right to do that. No, it is Obama who doesn't have the legal right to do what he's doing, opening up our borders and bringing people in. Let's take a look at something that happened 217 years ago, just as the governors were pushing back against the federal overreach here. Let's pull something out of the history bin, and it's not just dusty history. This has application to today. Now, 217 years ago in July, there were the Alien and Sedition Acts that the John Adams administration put in. That was a response to the French Revolution and an undeclared naval war with France. So this is put out there as measures of security. Where have we heard this before? Okay, well, what were they? Well, first of all, the Alien Act is kind of interesting because it's exactly the opposite of what this president is trying to do. They would give the president the authority to declare foreign residents to be enemies of the state and to jail or deport them. We have our president does just exactly the opposite. He takes enemies of the state, he brings them in, and he imports them in. But in both of these cases, what this was really about was rigging the system for people who supported your political party. Adams wanted to get rid of certain number of people because certain kinds of people because they would not vote for his party. Obama wants to bring them in because he thinks they will, but also he has other issues going on with this. And then there was the Sedition Act. There have been numerous times in the history of America where presidents have decided that they are going to criminalize any dissent. Okay, the most recent edition of this was in 1917, the Espionage Act. And we have seen the Obama administration go after more people, reporters, whistleblowers, so forth, under the Espionage Act than all of the previous presidents combined. As a matter of fact, more than three times all the previous presidents combined. But right after it was passed in 1917, and of course it was put through by the Woodrow Wilson administration, it was done in response to the impending involvement in World War I. One of the first people to be prosecuted under the Espionage Act was a film director who did a film about the American Revolution. And in it, he showed the British to be very bad guys, probably exaggerated the case. But Woodrow Wilson didn't like that because he was going to be using the British as allies. So he fined this guy $5,000 in 1917 dollars. That's a huge fine, and put him in jail for 10 years.
Wow.
And the Supreme Court said, there is no First Amendment protection of movies. And the Supreme Court said, that's our opinion, and we're going to stick with it, and they did until the 1950s. In the 1950s, they said, okay, now we've decided that the First Amendment applies to movies. Now, that illustrates why we cannot appeal to Washington to do the right thing, to do the lawful thing, to do the constitutional thing, and Jefferson knew this at the very beginning. So when these Alien and Sedition Acts were passed in July, about 4 months later, 217 years ago yesterday, he secretly wrote and worked with his neighbor Madison to set up the Kentucky Resolution, also Virginia Resolutions, to establish the idea that it is the states that have the final say-so on this. Mm-hmm. And the immediate situation in Jefferson's case, this is pointed out by a New American article that you see right there on the screen. In Jefferson's case, he had his own congressional representative right there in his district who wrote a letter critical of the John Adams administration, and a grand jury there indicted him for libel. They were going to put him in jail. Jefferson wrote letters to the Virginia legislature and said, I want you to punish the grand jury. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't take prisoners, okay? He's an activist. Punish the grand jury for indicting this guy because we have a First Amendment that protects his speech. Well, he was cautioned by James Monroe, another president later on, who also was a neighbor of his, and he said, no, you should take this up with Congress. Jefferson said no. And this is what he said. It's of immense consequence that the state retain as complete authority as possible over its own citizens. The system of general government, in other words, the federal government, is to seize all doubtful ground. He knew that the feds, if anything was left ambiguous, they would take the power. Now, he went on to say in the Kentucky resolutions, which are done anonymously because he was fearful that he would be jailed and persecuted by John Adams. This is what it said, that the several states composing the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to a general government. Do you get that? We are not united on the basis that we give up all of our power and all of our right to the federal government. That was what this country was founded on, and it was the American states who created the federal government. It would be the same as if we were to leave the United Nations, and the United Nations then said, you can't leave, and we're going to create an international army, and we're going to subjugate you. No, that's not what it was based on. He said that they have created a general government for special purposes, delegated to that government certain definite powers, and reserving to the state itself the residuary power. Well, of course, that's the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, as we see that. Okay, so he's repeating that again. And that was in the Constitution at that time. It was ratified in 1791. So he says, whenever the general government assumes undelegated powers, its acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. Okay, you don't have to appeal it to the federal government or to the Supreme Court. You just take it that way. And I think when we look at what's going on with medical marijuana, with recreational marijuana use, when you push back against federal authority that is overreaching, then the feds back off, just like they did Bundy Ranch, just like they did with Corbett and the TSA. They will do that with the states because they don't want people to understand that under our constitutional republic, the states have as much power as the federal government that they created, and the federal government is actually the smaller creature.
Right. Wow. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because we're seeing now social media, they're really kind of making this a moral conundrum. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know, obviously this is going to be a big thing now with this, when the GOP, the next debate and everything, it is going to be about prove your Christianity. They're tweeting out now about Matthew 25:35. When I was hungry, did you feed me? Did you give me something to drink? Did you clothe me? Did you give me shelter? And also, pointing out, you know,
the Bible was putting up rules for individuals and how we deal with people one to one. It wasn't creating a constitution for government first place. So that is not, we have, one of the reasons that we're in the situation we are morally in this country is because the churches, especially the liberal churches, have abdicated their personal responsibility to the government. The government is not there as an institution of charity. It is an instrument of force, and we need to be very careful, like, Washington said, it's like a fire. You don't want it to get out of control.
Right. And that's what I think is so important, because when you take these moral arguments and then what we're seeing on social media is sort of throwing the Bible verses back at people that are trying to say, we can't do this. This is not safe. They're saying, well, what would you have done with the Jews when they were fleeing Nazi Germany? Well, there again, we were not dealing with an organization that was dealing in terrorist activity, where we were thinking that there was going to be some possible jihadis in with the Jewish refugees, right? And so that's what it is people are turning this into a sort of a moral debate when it really is about protecting the lives of the American people. And yes, you know, I would love to be able to say, come on in. I'm sorry that our governments have been destroying
life. Our government is destroying their lives.
But, you know, like I said, we can't bring that here. Well, David, thank you so much. And stick around, because we're going to have some more from the Alex Jones Show right after this.
I think this is the integration of the ultimate Illuminist globalist plan for global war and global civil war. Civil war meaning in all nations that we're seeing, whether it's Europe, whether it's parts of Asia and the United States, we're being set up for the ultimate takedown of obviously borders, language, culture. The globalists have made their plans very clear. We're watching it right now. And I think what people have to ask the question on the whole French thing, you know, standard protocol in counterterrorism, you can talk to the experts, read about it, is the longer they wait, once people start being first shots are fired, the more danger it puts the hostage in. You've got to ask yourself, why did they not rush the building? Why did they allow it to go on even when people were texting and phoning out of the building? I think that this is the cause du jour. As you probably know, Alex, the French Foreign Legion now is boots on the ground in Syria. It's becoming more and more obvious that the issue, the major issue, is simply this. This is not immigration. This is invasion. The pathetic excuse of the entity in the White House when he said that, you know, ISIS was contained and then boom, and then the other statement that he made through his press conference in Turkey should be absolute, a declaration that he is overseeing and allowing the Islamic invasion of the United States and basically funding it in other parts of the world. You know, that's what Vladimir Putin, spoke the most telling and compelling statement when he said, look what you have done. But I don't think people understand this is not by accident. And this is not by someone who is so removed from reality. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that there must be a war that has to take place for Islamic eschatology to be fulfilled, a global nuclear war. You remember you and I did a show together when Ahmadinejad made the statement that for the sake of the return of the Mahdi, it'd be beneficial for 54 million Iranians if they had to die to bring it about. Well, he got thrown out because there must have been more than one who said, we don't want this guy present anymore. But the point is that with Balalay and McElhenry and others calling now saying something's wrong, we have a constitutional definition of treason, aiding and abetting a sworn enemy of the United States. We have denial upon denial upon denial. But, Alex, I propose to you that all the weapons you and I have talked about, all of the ammunition that has been purchased has been secreted away in different places throughout the United States and will be for the invading army to acquire. I think, Alex, we are under invasion. This is not immigration. And the threats of ISIS, and let's just face it, you and I have talked so many years that terrorism is nothing more than an extension of someone's foreign policy, in this case the terrorists, and the overthrow of the old world order. We've heard it from George Bush ad nauseum. And the point being now is we're seeing the implementation, and unfortunately, with the veterans being killed off, 350,000 plus, denial of medical services, et cetera, since Obama came to office, now 900,000 plus veterans waiting, it's got to be obvious to everybody that we're seeing the decimation of the U.S. military. We're seeing the, if you will, throwing the Americans under the bus, and it's a war. It's civil war. When you see that the statements out of Obama, look, you don't need to make anything up. You don't need to go in long-winded television network, not that you do, but the television networks, they're trying to figure everything out, and it's so obvious. And one of the things about people is that they're so numbed and dumbed down to reality, they can't get out of their entertainment, if you will, paradigm and come to reality, knowing that this is the beginning of the end.
As governor of the state of Texas, I will not roll the dice and take the risk on allowing a few refugees in simply to expose Texans to that danger.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here late about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
In the wake of the terror in Paris, President Obama is blatantly disregarding the very real concerns of the American people. Rather than review the policy to bring in 10,000 Syrian refugees after the horror the world witnessed just 5 days ago, Obama clutches like a madman to his power and stays the course on the Bilderberg-fueled globalist demand that he oust President Bashar al-Assad from Syria. Rather than do whatever it takes to protect the United States, Obama is leaving the gates wide open as he shuns the overwhelming concerns of Americans and aids an invading force to quietly enter the United States. People are flooding social media to encourage Americans to call their congressional representatives to stop the resettlement of Middle Eastern migrants after government officials and contractors admitted the migrants cannot be tracked or vetted properly. Nearly 80% of states receiving the most migrants have GOP upper house majorities. Of the 19 states that took in the most refugees per capita in 2013 and 2014, 15 have upper house legislatures dominated by Republicans. In comparison, only 3 of the 19 states are Democratic. The FBI has already admitted the U.S. can't vet all the migrants for terror ties.
We can only query against that which we have collected. And so if someone has never made a ripple in the pond in Syria in a way that would get their identity or their interests reflected in our database, we can query our database till the cows come home, but we're not going to. There will be nothing show up because we have no record on it. You can only query what you've collected. And with respect to Iraqi refugees, we had far more in our databases because of our country's work there for a decade. This is a different situation.
In the case of Syria, you can't go to the government offices in that country. They're in disarray. You can't go interview people who know people who are applying for this status. Do you disagree with the FBI director when he says that vetting Syrian refugees is extremely difficult, if not impossible?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure he said it was impossible. Certainly not only the Department of Justice, but all of our agencies will make every effort to vet every refugee coming into this country, from the databases to the interviews that those individuals are subject to the biometric screening as well.
Let me go on.
Certainly there are challenges to that process because of the situation in Syria.
Recently, a Syrian migrant who was relocated to Louisiana went missing. The group accommodating him admitted it doesn't track the migrants. The LA Times is reporting that more than half the country's governors, citing security concerns, said they would refuse Syrian refugees. And those Syrian refugees are all headed not to the big cities, but to the small towns of Main Street America. While ISIS calls for attacks on Washington, D.C., and ramps up the possibility of a terror attack on one of the many cities found on the ISIS kill list. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Paul Watson, I'm going to give you the floor here to really break down your observations. First, what you saw today. I appreciate you and the courage of you and Biggs and Zimmerman. And then walk through other things you've witnessed since you were on with us 23 hours ago yesterday.
Well, yeah, obviously, as Big said today, we visited Molenbeek, which is known as the jihadist capital of Europe. It's one of these Muslim no-go ghettos that the left pretends doesn't exist. Remember, Steve Emerson went on Fox News after Charlie Hebdo and blamed some of these radicalized no-go Muslim ghettos for recruiting some of the attackers involved in that incident. The left laughed him off. The mayor of Paris tried to sue Fox News for those comments. And they basically, for the next 10 months, pretended that these areas don't exist. They do exist. We've just been in one. And again, they've earned the reputation for being a no-go zone. Because as Big said, we were, you know, flip the bird, screamed at by these young Muslims in this car. They followed us. Then we went to try and get something in a bar kind of restaurant place. And from what I could tell, the guy was talking French. He was basically saying, white people aren't allowed in restaurants in this area. So our white privilege didn't count for much. But I'm racist for criticizing the religion of Islam. But they've got segregation in these Muslim no-go ghettos. So, yes, they do exist. We've been in one. And as Big said, this was where the guy, the eighth attacker, who is still on the loose in Belgium, they haven't caught him. He was picked up at around 5 a.m., just a couple of blocks away from the theater siege. Driven all the way back from Paris to Brussels to this very area where this raid occurred. There are no police there whatsoever. We didn't see one police officer. Maybe there was a van driving through once. Other than that, absolutely nothing. So they don't want to patrol these areas because they're not welcome. And obviously anybody white is not welcome. And that was made clear to us. So we had to get out of there. But that's Molenbeek. That's the jihadist capital of Europe. And, of course, it's not just the Paris attack in which, you know, the jihadists came out of that area. The Thais train attack back in August, of course, you remember it was derailed by the U.S. military service personnel. He came from Molenbeek, Belgium. The Jewish museum bomber here in Brussels. Last year, he opened fire with a Kalashnikov rifle, again, like the train bomb, like the train attacker. He lived in Molenbeek. That's why they all come from here. Of course, Belgium has the highest proportion of jihadists being sent to Syria out of the whole of Europe. And if you look on Twitter, on my Twitter account today, I posted the fact that the most number of pro-ISIS tweets expressing sympathy towards ISIS, number three on that list is Belgium, way above the likes of Turkey, way above the likes of Saudi Arabia. So there's a huge pro-ISIS sympathy here, and it's concentrated in these Muslim no-go ghetto areas like Molenbeek. The Madrid train bombings back in 2004. One of the men behind the attack was from Molenbeek. Surprise, surprise. And there are other attacks as well. Of course, the mastermind behind the Paris attack, who is currently based in Syria, he came from Molenbeek, as did one of the actual assailants who is still on the loose. So this is an area with 30, 40% unemployment rate. They call it the capital of political Islam in continental Europe. That's according to Belgium's interior minister. And what's interesting is that even though Belgium is quite a left-wing country, obviously quite tolerant of intolerance, The Belgian prime minister came out yesterday and said, almost every time an Islamic terrorist atrocity occurs, there is a link with Molenbeek. He went on to say, we have tried prevention. Now we will have to get repressive. That was his word, repressive. It has been a form of laissez-faire and laxity. Now we are paying the bill. Of course, the eighth suspect in the Paris attacks is still on the loose here in Belgium. They went and raided his apartment, arrested a couple of his brothers, I believe, who were subsequently released. But he's still on the loose. And now the Prime Minister of Belgium is saying they need to get repressive in the area of Molenbeek to clamp down on that jihadist sentiment.
I mean, what an incredible statement. Could you hear that in Belgium, Paul Joseph Watson, that Biden clip from this morning where he comes out and says that we've got to stay free, we've got to keep our borders open? No, we're free in the country, but we have borders. That's what a sovereign country does. It's why my body has skin. It's why I have a mucous membrane in my mouth. I have a border for a reason. My cells have a barrier. Plants have a wall, not because they're racist, but because they'd die if they didn't, Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah, and of course, that echoes what Salon.com said the other day, which I talked about. They basically came out with a headline saying the answer to the Paris terror attacks is to invite more Muslim refugees into Paris. Again, absolutely ludicrous, makes no sense. And today, which you probably mentioned, there's a report out of Baton Rouge that they allowed some of these Syrian refugees into Baton Rouge, Louisiana. One of them's already escaped, missing completely. They don't know where he's gone. Yeah, it's the same in Germany. They're getting to these refugee registration centers and then just disappearing into the underground. So, of course, ISIS again came out with a promise the other day and said they would infiltrate 4,000 jihadists through this refugee wave.
And by the way, Paul, they've been keeping their promises, and now they're disappearing from refugee centers inside the United States.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Baton Rouge, one's gone missing already, the first wave that they took in. And, of course, that's only going to happen to a greater extent. So the reaction in Paris, though, seems to be they're not really letting it affect their way of life. I mean, it was quite deserted on Sunday, but it's not like Israel-style oppressive security. You just walk straight into the train station, get on the train. There are no checks. There were armed police on the train.
Dr. Group joins us for the balance of this hour to talk about solutions. We have them up every couple of weeks. We have been trying to launch this for the last year. We got all of the organic ingredients to do it. And we've come up with a new Living Defense Harmful Organism Cleansing Dietary Supplement. And it is extremely affordable. It is brimming with the capsules. And the way I read the facts, this could do a cleanse for really a family of four or five people. Dr. Group, let's just get into the product now and then into parasites themselves, what folks really want to hear about in the next segment. But thank you for developing this for InfoWarsLife.com. Tell us about Living Defense and why it's so special.
Well, it's really special because it's part of the problem that we're dealing with today. When the earth becomes sick and the earth soils become acidic and the internal bodies become acidic because of all the toxic food in the air and the beverages that people are consuming, it sets up an environment that's ripe for harmful organisms to live, either on the earth, that's why a lot of the plants are infested with harmful organisms, or inside the body. And years ago, we linked every single disease process to an overgrowth of organisms in the body. And when people hear the word parasite, which the FDA does not like us to use, they actually came down on us and made us take the word parasite off everywhere because we were exposing what the globalists have been doing, spreading these parasites and creating this environment, which is great for them to live in for years and years and years because they know they drain us of energy, they make us sick. So we had to actually change the word parasite to harmful organism. And when we talk about harmful organisms, it's the definition, actually, the medical definition of parasite is any harmful organism that lives off of a host mechanism. Most people just think parasites are worms, but harmful organisms are bacteria, viruses that you can get through flu shots, Funguses, yeast, we literally have an epidemic going on right now with molds and fungus and yeast living in everybody's body.
This is something that I heard about over a decade ago. I didn't really believe. I did one of these cleanses or invasive organism or harmful organism cleanses. It really hurt a lot, but it did do a lot. With this was not painful like some other cleanses I've done. The product is available at InfoWarsLife.com. I've always read and heard that just one of the ingredients, black walnuts, is really good at flushing parasites, and that, you know, animals out in the fields eat them and stuff to naturally do this. We do cleanses on our dogs, our cats, our horses, our cows. Why not us?
Well, because they don't want you to know about that you need to do a parasite or a harmful organism cleanse. That's the thing. It's so secretive. And when we were doing our research into the root cause of every single disease, there's been plenty of proof.
The statistics are clear. 9 out of 10 people are infested with harmful organisms like parasites. Parasites can be transmitted by people, pets, food, and the environment, and so many other sources. Once parasites have made it inside your body, they steal your nutrients and release toxic waste. They use the bathroom inside of you. It's time to start eliminating toxic and harmful organisms from your body. Introducing Living Defense, the new harmful organism cleanser by InfoWarsLife.com. Living Defense uses wildcrafted organic herbs to help naturally cleanse harmful organisms from the body. We are expected to sell out of this very, very quickly. This is our limited first-time run. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to try Living Defense today while supplies last. Shifting gears to Dr. Steve Pachenik of StevePachenik.com. We're going to find out his view on what's happening geopolitically in the world and what these Friday the 13th attacks mean. StevePachenik.com. He's an MD and a PhD, and of course have been involved in many of the more famous black ops operations and many operations you never heard about. So he's uniquely suited to give us his take and his inside view on what's happening. So Steve Pachenik, thank you for coming on, Doc.
Oh, it's always a pleasure coming on, and it's always a pleasure to hear Stephen Quayle's voice. I haven't heard it in years. I worked with him in Montana. So it's quite an interesting family we have here. Basically, from my point of view, in running a hostage negotiation, about the first time I started the first hostage negotiation in Washington, D.C. in 78, it was with the Hanafi Muslims, black Muslims. And they also protested the appearance of a movie about Muhammad, and they asked to shut it down. They also killed quite a few people in three different sites. We had 500 hostages, and I was brought in because the FBI couldn't handle it, the CIA couldn't handle it, and the military was not available. The point of fact is that I was able to negotiate their release. Some 40 years later, we have the same problem. The problem isn't just black Muslims, because Muslims is a wide-ranging factor. We have Muslims in Indonesia, we have Muslims in Malaysia, and Shiite Muslims. What we're talking about here is specifically the Sunnis and ISIS. And ISIS, from my point of view, came into France for reasons other than their dislike of Christianity or anything to do with the Quran. From my point of view, one of the issues that I was concerned about and was true to form, because I predicted there would be Algerians and Pakistani control operatives, and it turned out to be correct, that the people involved in the attacks were either the sons of Algerians or the Algerians themselves. Now, why Algerians? Because for over 30, 40, 50 years, the French have incarcerated over 2 million Algerians in their camps, in the internment camps, both in Paris, in France, around my area, in Toulouse, and in Algeria. And what's happened, in effect, contrary to the image of a sweet, innocent, beatific France, and I'm not saying that France deserves it, I'm simply stating a fact, which no one stated either in France or the United States, and none of our intelligence operatives.
Sure, they got thrown out of Algeria in the battle for Algiers.
Correct. But no one knows to what degree it really occurred. When I grew up in France, in the southwest of France, in Toulouse, I was privy to explosions all day long. And the explosions were created either by Algerian operatives or created by the generals who were fighting against the Gaulle. And the famous film, The Jackal, shows you exactly to what extent people wanted to go to kill Charles de Gaulle, because they were disgusted in France with the fact that they had to pull out of Algeria. The converse of that is that these are the people involved in these attacks against France, Belgium, Spain, and Lebanon are the children of the children who were in the Algerian War and the Moroccan Wars, in the wars involving the colonial empires. So under the guise of the Quran or Islamism, extreme Islamism, which most of them don't really know, none of them have really been students of the Quran, they don't know Islam, and I'm not pardoning them. I'm simply saying that they came in to justify the revenge that they were told to inflict by their fathers, their grandfathers, which in fact said, listen, France has been terrible to our people in Algeria, here in France, and elsewhere. It's not an accident that they came out of Belgium. Belgium knew very well that there was a NIDAS or a group of operatives who were extreme Islamists in this town called Milcom. It's a town which is in the suburbs. I don't know it as well as I know France.
Our reporters are there right now.
Okay. Well, the reason why Belgium is important, and you and I actually talked about it many years ago, is that Belgium, ironically, is not a unified nation. Although it has the audacity to take over the EU as the center point, Belgium itself is broken up into the Flemish, the Walloons, French, Flemish, and other cultures, and they had a very hard time for years getting a prime minister or a leader of that country. So, in fact, it's very easy for extremists of any type to go into Belgium and then travel across the border 1 hour later into France. I don't think this is a stand down. I don't think this is a false flag. But what I do want to encourage our audience to understand is we have to take it easy. It's not a question that we are on a high alert and we're on a war on terror. Terror is a strategic and tactical mechanism which is intended to create fear. And no one feeds into that fear better than our American media and the world media, where they amp it up to an amazing volume, and then you would think you're totally paralyzed. The truth of the matter is we've had terrorism from the beginning of time. We were terrorists in the Revolutionary War against the British. The French were terrorists. So it's a technique that's being developed. Is our intelligence and our FBI and our military up to the level that it needs to penetrate these groups? My opinion, quite frankly, is no. And for years, we have wasted a lot of money, trillions of dollars in the wars in Iraq,
sure,
and Afghanistan. We have not won anything. We basically have wasted that war, wasted our capital. And bombing these groups in ISIS is totally useless.
Well, that's where I wanted to go next. It's very confusing, the situation in Syria. It's been pretty clear up until the last few months who was on whose side. The West was backing a lot of these ISIS and al-Qaeda, al-Nusra groups. Now it appears they might actually be cutting them off and bombing them. Is that because they didn't serve their purpose successfully? Or is it because they become an embarrassment? Is it because Putin came in? Or is it still a fake war? Did ISIS strike back through these North African groups as a threat to France for bombing them? I mean, as best you can tell and from your sources, how is this really connected to Syria?
This is very much connected to Syria because, number one, everyone has to understand that Bashar Assad and the Assad or the Alawites, these are the minority groups of Shiites, were placed into power from the internal part of Syria right to the Mediterranean and basically on Aleppo and Latakia. I was there in Syria. So the French created modern-day Syria. The second thing is the Shiites, i.e. the Iranian Revolutionary Guard led by General Soleimani, the Russians, and the most importantly are the Hezbollahs, 8,000 young men from Lebanon who literally go 10 minutes away and fight ISIS. The truth of the matter is that the only vigil and the only effective counter force that we have against ISIS is not America, it's not the bombing, it's primarily the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the Bashar's forces, military forces that are supported by the Russians, and the Hezbollah young men and women who've been fighting ISIS for well over 4 to 5 years in Lebanon, because literally ISIS is
sure
outside their homes. So
how are things going for ISIS, and now the French claim they're going to send the French Foreign Legion into there?
Well, I would say the following. I know the French Foreign Legion because they were trained in a town where my family grew up in Corsica. The French Foreign Legion is technically not part of the French army. They are, in my opinion, one of the most ruthless, effective forces in the world, because they are not part of the French army. If Hollande were to tell me it's the French army, I would not have the same opinion, because my father was in the French army. They were defeated in World War II. They were defeated in World War I. However, the French Foreign Legion brings in Germans, Austrians, and all types of criminals who want to have a French passport. They're exceedingly effective at what they do at sniping and at killing at point-blank range. So the French Foreign Legion is a unit that I would have brought in right
away. It's a legion of assassins. Is it not a legion of assassins?
Well, that's what war is. I mean, these are guys who are controlled, disciplined, highly effective assassins. If I were ISIS, and really I'm not that good from the ISIS point of view. From the point of view of what was said in the media, you think these were brilliant combatants. No, ISIS is not. They've been trained in certain techniques. Shooting hostages at point blank,
not hard.
Creating explosives is not a great military feat. However, the fast Foreign Legion can penetrate them very quickly. They speak Arabic. They know their enemy exceedingly well, and they will come into close quarters. From the point of view of the United States, we're doing exactly what we should be doing, flying out of Turkey and then insisting that Turkey bring in its ground forces, because for the first time, Turkish soldiers are Sunni soldiers, and they know how to fight. And the Turks were very effective for us in Korea and in Vietnam, and they are, when they want to be, lethal killers, and they are the most effective on the ground, along with the French Foreign Legion and the Shiite fighters.
So you think the decision's been made now to triple-cross ISIS by the West?
Yes. The most important decision in that is really to get into the royal family of Saudi Arabia and insist that they step down or stop funding ISIS.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Now joining me in studio is Jakari Jackson. Now, Jakari, would you take a sucker punch from a robot?
No, I think I would pass on that one.
Well, they're actually now testing robots to see how hard can they hit a human before they risk injury. Of course, they're doing this for your safety.
I don't know
in
how
the
they
future.
Possibly can see this as being for my safety.
Well, so here is this new test. Volunteers are blindfolded, and the machine swings at their hands or arms, and then they rate how painful it was while an ultrasound scans their look. They scan them and then look for any bruises. So this is, you know, aimed at making robots safer as they appear in people's homes. I guess they're going to try and teach robots about, you know, just how delicate the human flesh is for when the rise of the machines take over and, you know, they're given the ability to beat us and destroy us. This is an alarm clock that slaps you in the face in order to wake you up.
Oh, wow. That's like an old Seinfeld joke that actually came to reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is kind of like the government thing with this whole robot takeover. How hard can they hit you before you buckle under pressure? So it's all kind of coming true.
Wow.
Same thing with the economy, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is all coming about because last year or earlier this year, a man was killed in a Volkswagen factory in Germany after a robot grabbed him and crushed him against a metal plate. Oh, so wow. As we start to incorporate robots within the workplace, they have to make sure that we can all, you know, get along.
Is it like an assembly line robot or?
Right. And it was in the automobile factory. So
wow.
They want to avoid future incidents like this. So here you go. It's a whole new side of workplace violence that you have to worry about. Now, Black Friday is upon us, or I'm sorry, Gift Purchasing Friday, so I don't want to be racist. And a lot of people are going to be looking for new televisions. Mm-hmm. So every year we always talk about how, you know, these smart devices are spying on you. And now here, you know, mainstream media, is your TV spying on you? And it's now a report of how the Vizio smart televisions track your data so that it can be sold to advertisers. Basically, what the TV does is it links your habits to your IP addresses. And then as a result, advertisers can target users through your different mobile devices. And now the thing with this is that cable TV companies and video rental companies are prohibited from selling the information of your viewing habits. But if you're viewing Netflix or anything else through your television, mm-hmm. that's kind of that backdoor
that
way
loophole.
That your information
yeah.
can be sold to third parties. So what do you think about that? Have you experienced any targeted advertising?
Well, I mean, like use a service like Netflix. Of course, they give you, you know, similar movies or movie stars if you watch certain programming. But yeah, to see things like this coming out of Vizio, you know, it's that whole big surveillance web, because we've seen not just TVs, but things like TomTom, GPS, they used to sell that information to the police when they got caught. It's like, oh, sorry, we got caught selling your information.
Yeah.
The CIA directors come out bragging that they're going to spy on you throughout your dishwasher and all these other things that they can do to surveil you or just make money off you any way that they can.
Right. And it's, you know, it's for your convenience, just like, you know, they're making sure the robots aren't going to hit you, you know, hard enough to hurt
you to death.
Right. Well, speaking of police, we've got this article up on Infowars.com. Police civil asset forfeitures exceed all burglaries in 2014. So just to put it in perspective, between 1989 and 2010, U.S. attorneys seized an estimated $12.6 billion in civil asset forfeiture cases. In 2014 alone, that number had ballooned to $4.5 billion for the year. So in burglary offenses in 2014, we're just about an estimated $3.9 billion in property losses, mm-hmm. which means the police are now taking more assets than the criminals.
Yeah, that's a very shocking thing. I mean, it doesn't surprise me to hear those numbers, but to see them actually written down, I think it hopes, or at least I hope it'll put it in perspective for people so they can realize that, you know, when we talk about civil asset forfeiture, what these situations are, let's say you're driving down the street, you got $7,000 in the car, cash, whatever. So you get pulled over by an officer, he discovers it for whatever reason, and he seizes the funds, even though you didn't do anything wrong by just having the physical cash on you. So now you have to make this decision. Are you going to spend your money trying to get your money back, or
right.
are you just going to let them have it? You know,
because you're not innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you got that money lawfully and legally.
And you
why
plan
you
to use
cash?
It for a legal purpose, which is completely ridiculous.
Right. I mean, I know just years ago, I had $5,000 my mom took out of the bank. This is when you could still do that mm-hmm. to buy me a car on the spot because my car broke down mm-hmm. and I was completely like disabled. And, you know, to do something like that now, my mom's a terrorist.
So. Yeah, they want to track everything you do. You know, that's why people are going more towards these cryptocurrencies and other things that are harder to track. Which, I mean, you know, cash is also more difficult to track. But if you get pulled over, they see, you know, big suitcase full of money. They may ask some questions and even seize your property.
Right. And again, so this is one of the big issues with encryption now. So they're not wanting people to encrypt their phones. And of course, they're saying that it's because of terrorism. And we're seeing, you know, out of these Paris attacks that this is going to be one of the big things for 2016 with encryption.
Well, we've also seen the CIA director. He's come out and said that things we have here in our country, like the Fourth Amendment, are actually hindering their terrorism investigations. I think they could pretty much cripple the terrorists if they stopped giving them guns and bombs and, you know, vehicles to ride around. And I think that'd cripple more than,
radical
I think that would cripple the terrorists more than anything else. But that makes too much sense. So now, the CIA director Brennan, he came out and he was making these statements because they got a big conference together with CIA, FBI, all the alphabet agencies. They said, hey, if we just could do away with this thing called the Fourth Amendment and just spy on anybody at any time, which they do already, like, I guess they're spying on everybody except the terrorists.
Right. No, it's always that they were under surveillance, but they somehow slipped through, or they were known to the CIA or FBI or
Federal just agency. Like the Czarnaya brothers, regardless of what you think about that whole situation or that whole official story, you know, these guys, or at least the older brother, was under surveillance. I think Napolitano at the time was director of DHS. She was briefed on these guys, but yet they're still running around and doing all the things they said that
right.
they did.
But you just said something pretty radical about not arming ISIS and everything. President Obama specifically said that he doesn't appreciate people popping off with ideas of how we could actually, you know,
how we could actually end these conflicts and, you know, stop all the things that are going on. But yeah, it's nothing new, because people will hear us make statements like this, like, oh, you guys are just Republicans. You know, Reagan did things like this, you know, Iran-Contra, all this other stuff. The Mujahideen, Mrs. Clinton, who I'm not vouching for in any way, shape, or form, but she has made the point that we're arming the people that we're fighting today, or
we
have done that in the past.
Yeah.
And people just can't get this. You know, it's just this continuous cycle. It's like running a football play. You know, if the quarterback sneak up the middle gets you the touchdown every time, just keep running the same play. If they don't get smart enough to realize what's going on, just keep doing the same thing. And that's exactly what keeps happening.
Right. And it seems as though people will not learn. And of course, now we've got Rand Paul, who's one of the main candidates up there, who's been pretty consistent with liberty and fighting for liberties, fighting for the Constitution. And now with this whole Paris attack thing, he is going to, once again, everyone's going to be like, oh, your foreign policy doesn't even make sense, because now we need this encryption. We need this surveillance in order to stop these terrorist attacks, because the president is forcing refugees upon the states and forcing people to take them. And hopefully jihadists won't embed themselves.
Well, the issue with this, you know, we've seen even the top advisors in Washington, they're telling the president, Mr. Obama, we don't have the resources to vet 10,000 people at one time. They're too busy spying on the American people. So with this said, you know, I have nothing against the immigrants coming from any country, whether they're coming from Central America, South America, they're coming from Pakistan, they're coming from Yemen. Like I was telling David today earlier on the show, on the Alex Jones show, I understand somebody in Yemen who wants to come here because they're blowing up your wedding parties with drones. I understand
right.
that. I understand that if you live in some foreign country and they send a jet to blow up your hospital, you want to leave that area. I completely understand that 100%. My issue is we have politicians, and like I said, it didn't start with Obama. It's been going on for a very long time, who are going into these foreign countries, making situations worse. And then even after they spend your tax dollars to make the situation worse, they want you to spend more of your tax money, Leanne, to bring the people here. Like I said, no issue.
Right.
No issue with the people coming here. My issue is with the politicians in Washington who continue these practices and screw us, the American taxpayer, both ways while they're screwing the people coming from these other countries.
Absolutely.
Every way possible.
And that's the big issue, is that with the whole mastering the human domain, they're already mastering the United States, these other European countries where they have all of this surveillance set up. But with these other countries where they haven't been able to set up these databases to surveil them and control every move that they make, that is the issue with being able to vet these people, is that they haven't mastered the human domain just yet. It's, of course, the areas, you know, here in America where people get their Vizio television and allow themselves to be spied on left and right. Well, Jakari, thank you so much for joining
me
in the last segment with the News Blitz. And for all of you out there, if you're watching us on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. And you can also become a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. Your subscription will get you instant access to over 18 years worth of amazing content. We'll see you here again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95.
You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.